1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 31. There can be no doubt about the title, the subject of this discourse. The whole body ministry, the all body ministry, the one body ministry. Paul opens in verse 12 with the body, the anatomy of the human body. The body is a unit, one. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. That's the illustration. Now the punchline. So it is with Christ. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He's speaking to the believers, of course, at Corinth, the sanctified, those who are called to be saints. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church of God, he goes on in verse 28, in the ecclesia. So he's speaking about Christ, his members, his believing members, the body, the ecclesia, the local ecclesia in particular. And this local ecclesia, this body of believers in Christ, form one body. So it is with Christ. That's what he's saying here. Verse 13 is clear. For we were all baptized by, or with, or in, one spirit into one body, the ecclesia of Christ, Christ himself, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. By God's spirit, God drew us into union with Christ, union with each other, John 17. We were all baptized by one spirit into one body. And we were all given the spirit to drink. Just a short digression. Other passages speak about being washed. And some people fondly think that that means baptism. It means nothing of the sort. The water means cleansing, life, vigor. The illustration here is drinking. How does that tie in with baptism? No, water is to wash us from our sins, as it were externally in the body, but wash us spiritually. It's life, it's vigor, refreshing. Water, life, vigor, cleansing. We were all, by the Spirit, united to Christ. The picture is clear. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The foot can't say to the hand, the eye can't say to the ear, and so on. I don't need you, you've got nothing to do, no part. Not at all. He goes on making this illustration. It doesn't need to be labored. It can be seen very easily. If every part of the body was the knee, well, then we could use our, we'd have no hands to use. And if it was the hand, we couldn't walk, and so on. Every part is necessary. I don't need you, says the eye to the hand. Ridiculous. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Not at all. Indeed, in human terms, the weaker, the less honourable parts, we give greater glory and honour to and treat with special modesty. The picture is clear. Each in the assembly, the believers, should esteem other better than themselves. That's the teaching of Philippians chapter 2. What is more, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. I have a little trouble with my feet. It's not just my feet that know it, though. If I'm out walking, the whole system knows it if it starts playing up. And there can be no division in the body. If my legs won't do what my head says, then I'm in paralysis or something, or in some uncontrollable condition. That's an illness. This is not what we want at all. It has to be cured if it can be cured. One part suffers, every part suffers with it, verse 26. One part honoured, every part honoured. No division, no breaking up of the body, no despising of parts of the body. All together, and indeed all active and combining together. I'm not any expert by any means in this, but I the Bible tells me I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know my system, my pulses, my pulse, my All the glands are working, all the hormones, all the enzymes, whatever it might be, they're all combining together, often without me knowing it, and it's all working to form one body. So it is in the ecclesia of Jesus Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it, and part of it. You are part of it. And in the church of God, God has appointed first of all, and then the gifts. Now, tied in with the previous discourse, I can see the extraordinary here. Apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, and so on. And languages, and gifts of healing. But the picture goes on into the ordinary, surely. The whole assembly is not a body just in the apostolic age. Surely that principle, Ephesians 4 and other places, Romans 12, carries on and on. We are a living body, not an organization, but an organism. We've got this institutional mentality, this building mentality, this clergy mentality, and yet the picture here is of all the body active. That doesn't mean 99.99% absorbing what one part of the body does, but it means we're all contributing, sharing, loving, feeling, praying, teaching, instructing. We're all ministers, we're all priests of Christ, priests of the new covenant. And love, of course, is the greatest of all the gifts, as he will come on to in chapter 13, in a more excellent way. The picture is very clear. It doesn't need to be expounded in a way. I'll speak for myself. I feel the loss of its experience. You can't have this on your own. Two is better than one. Three better than two. And when we've got a sufficient number to make up this principle and activity, it doesn't need a huge number. The New Testament shows me, I think, the churches were small, meeting in the atriums of their houses very often. But the way that they assembled, the way they carried on their life, was so different to the institutional ways we do it today. Meeting in a box, sitting in lines, listening to one man discourse with a few people doing the work. Not at all. It's all active. The whole body combining together to give a sense of the oneness of Christ. This is the witness to the world. This is the benefit to us. This is how we grow. Oh, that we can enjoy it. I hope for those who are listening to me, if any are, who have responsibility and opportunity to teach about these things and encourage these things in the assemblies, will do so and move away from this clergy hierarchical system, institutional system that we so belabored with and so hindered by. It comes from the fathers, down through the medieval, through the Reformation, and down on into us. Oh, that we could get back to this spirit of the whole body, the one body, the every member ministry, the one another ministry, the sharing together of a living body, the stones built together as one temple, as Peter will use it, the picture being of the every believer being a part of this royal priesthood. May we live to see it brought back in increasing measure. After all, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink, and we all have this contribution to make. We're suffering if we don't make the contribution. The ecclesia is suffering, the world is suffering, and Christ is not glorified. He died to establish such a body. May we live to see. He prayed for it. John 17, may we live to see the fruit of it in our local ecclesia. May God bless us in this way. Amen. Having just heard this played over in uploading it, I would like to add this note which I sound on other occasions. Even in this passage, we can see that Christ gives gifts to the church. Ephesians 4 makes this very plain. There are the teaching ministers. The teaching ministry is a vital part of the church, the ecclesia. The vital part to be, in particular, to encourage the all-body ministry. But when I speak against just the 99.9% of the people just listening, there are occasions when we listen to such discourses. But if this is the sum total of our ecclesia, or virtually the sum total of it, There is the disgrace. There is the failure. We need the teaching ministry. We need the ruling ministry. But we need the all-body ministry also. I wanted to clarify that.